Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to be talking about teaching your children how to live in clutter-free spaces and actually do their chores. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I'm a mom of four kids, a teacher that has taught every grade from preschool through high school, and today I help moms and dads like yourself to navigate that exhausting, confusing, frustrating, but rewarding world of parenting. So welcome to The Impactful Parent. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Farnaz Dar. And Farnaz is a former classroom teacher turned entrepreneur. She is the founder of Chores to Scores. And she's a mom of four self-sufficient, organized young men. I'm happy to have her on the show today to talk about the value of teaching children how to live in clutter-free spaces and do their chores so that they can learn the skills that will help them do better in life and at school and everywhere else. So I'm excited to have her today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I want to start off with the benefits of teaching kids to do chores. Of course, I know some of the research and things, but my audience may not. And I want them to know why it's important that they listen to our episode today, because it is. It's so massively important. It's actually one of the best things that a parent can do. So can you talk about that first?
Yeah, 100%. Couple different reasons that chores, such an underutilized and neglected form of teaching your children so many wonderful skills. Number one, living in an organized, clean, clutter-free space is just better for the mind, for adults and for children. Number two, the idea of working in a unit, family unit, and being responsible, not just for yourself, which sometimes I'm feeling like our society is so individualized and worried about yourself. But when you actually participate in doing chores, when you teach kids the value of being in a home, in a family, doing things for other people, it teaches them, you know, just respect for other people. That's another reason. And number three, I would say for parents to teach their kids how to do chores is because parents do a lot already, you know, and there's a feeling of overwhelm, sometimes even a feeling of resentment when the kids are not doing chores and they're doing everything on their own. And then the final reason, of course, is all of the wonderful executive functioning skills that they can learn, that they can apply to their school as early as preschool, all the way up to college and beyond in life.
Absolutely. I think that chores is one of the best ways to teach responsibility. It is one of the most documented, actually, successors. Like it's one of the biggest thing that research has said to actually prove or much more likely that your child is going to be successful someday in life is to for them to have chores growing up. It's amazing and it's sure. So important. I'm really glad our audience is here listening to this. But the problem is our kids hate chores. They hate being told what to do. They don't mind a lot of value in it. And frankly, we get a lot of pushback as parents whenever we ask them to do chores. And I'll be the first to say I was guilty of it as a teenager. To this day, I feel horrible how I used to treat my mother about taking out the trash. It was my one freaking chore. And I pushed on her all the time. I think back at what a horrible teenager I was. And I wish my mom was still alive today for me to apologize because I just feel bad about that. And luckily my own kids, they have learned to do their chores, but you know, every once in a while I do get a lot of pushback specifically for cleaning their room. So let's talk about some tips that parents can do for getting started. How do we get our kids to get up and moving and doing what we're asking them to do?
Everything that you said completely relate to and teenage years are a separate sort of bag of tricks on their own, because once they're teenagers, you know, there's so many different factors that are at play. But I tell parents that, you know, first and foremost, I ask parents, like, how often do you tell your kids to do chores? And too often I hear, I don't even bother anymore. It's impossible. They just won't do it. It's not worth the aggravation, the nagging and the yelling. But it's a mind shift change, right? If you are, and the earlier they start with the kids, obviously the better, right? So I love working with new parents or parents of young children to get them to get that family mentality set, the make it a family value that, you know what, we are gonna have a clean space. We're gonna pick up after ourselves. So the first thing I would say is decide. As parents, decide that this is a value that you want to implement with your family. Number two, I would say come up with a plan of where you want to start. Obviously, your kids are not going to be able to do everything right away, but come up with a plan of what things they should be responsible for and what things that you want them to participate in the house to be responsible for. Those are some of the two of the most important things. And then actually teaching the kids how to do them, practicing with them. Somebody recently told said that if you have not taught your kids how to do something, just assume they don't know how to do it. So even as simple as loading the dishwasher, parents sometimes get frustrated, like, oh, they don't do it properly. It's just easy for me to do it by myself. Well, teach them how to do it. Teach them how you want the vacuum, how to use the vacuum, how to wipe down the countertops and the tabletops. So teaching them, taking the time to actually practice, and then of course, practicing yourself and modeling the behavior are all really easy ways to get the conversation started. And patience slash a little bit of stubbornness on the parents' part helps too, to not give up so easily.
You said two things that I want to reiterate. The first one is parents saying, oh, it's just so much easier for me to do it. And they're frustrated with their child because they want the kid to do it, but then they step in and they take over. And it starts as small as a toddler learning to tie their shoe and a parent being impatient to get out of the house. So what do? They tie the shoe for the toddler, and then eventually the kid doesn't even know how to tie their own shoe because they've never been taught. And the same thing happens here as your kids get older, whether it's the dishwashing or cleaning their room or taking out the trash or whatever your chore might be. It's you, there's so many parents who want to just avoid the fight and think, I can do it faster. I don't need to hear all these complaints. And it's really doing a disservice to your child. And I get it that sitting in that uncomfortable feeling of, oh, hurry up, hurry up. Or maybe the comfortable feeling of a child going, oh, nah, and you, or even the perception of you feeling like a nag. But I think as a parent, we need to overcome that and really give ourselves some patience and grace. Take a deep breath and let it happen. And one way to alleviate that is make sure you give your child enough time. That you're the one with the timetable. Your child doesn't care about the timetable. You're the one with the timetable. So making sure that we're actually setting our children up for success. And not just setting them up for failure because we know that they're going to take too long and I'm just going to end up doing it myself type of mentality, teaching the wrong thing.
For sure. Letting go of perfectionism, first of all. You know, when the kids are brushing their teeth or learning how to use a utensil to eat to feed themselves, there is that patience a lot of times. Then we know it's going to take time for them to get, but when it comes to these other things that affect other members of the family and the house, they kind of lose patience with that. And then that develops into, okay, well, if I, you know, am not doing it, she's going to come and do it anyway, or my dad's going to come and do it anyway. So to give up. But the funny thing is, Christina, I have come across so many adults who are actually annoyed with their parents or have a little grudge against their parents because they didn't encourage them to do things and they didn't grow up learning how to wash their clothes and use a washing machine, basic little skills. And now they feel a little bit helpless, you know, as adults, and some even taking adulting classes, which is kind of crazy to me. But yeah, so it is an important thing to pass on to the kids. you know, we all want to raise children that are independent and responsible and are good citizens within their family, you know, good partners. And I really feel like I know it's not the answer for everything, but something as simple as knowing how to maintain your own space, it is one of, it's a big factor and it's a big plus in your book of skills. And I think everybody should dust off those little, it's unfortunate. Chores have such a negative connotation, the word chores. One of these days I'm going to come up with a word and it's going to go viral and I'm going to be like, it's going to be the big thing. But chores is what we have to work with right now. And we need to take the stigma away from that word.
You bring up some really, really good points about that. And the second thing that you had said earlier that I want to reiterate was parents getting angry at their child for not doing the chore correctly, when in reality, they never really showed or taught the kid how to do the chore. And I see this all the time as a parenting coach, all the time, because we assume that they should know how. You should know how to load a dishwasher. You should know how to clean off any food particles from a dish. And most of the part, I hear all the time, they should know how to pick up or clean their room. And honestly, they don't. We have this imaginary standard in our brain, and our kids are not mind readers. So when we ask our child to clean their room, and then we check on it later and we find out that they have actually just, at first glance, it looks pretty good, but they just threw all of their clothes inside of a, under the bed, or in a drawer, or in a closet. All of a sudden we get mad as parents. And I'm saying, no, you have to take that step back. You have to say, all right, good try. That was a good effort. It looks good. But in reality, this room still isn't clean. See, the clothes need to be folded. And then you have to show the child, what does a folded clothes look like? What, how do you fold jeans? And how do you put up a t-shirt onto the hanger? Like, I know it's so, like, come on, duh, to us parents.
Yeah.
The child really feels that since their standard is much lower than ours most of the time, you know, that they did it.
Yeah.
They did what you had said. They feel like they're in compliance. And just like if we did something at our own job and we thought we did a good job for our boss, and then they come back and say, wait a second, you didn't even do this right. And it makes us feel bad as employees. Our kids are feeling the backlash of, geez, I thought I did it right. And I'm just getting yelled at. So then you get this self-defeating feeling where this child's like, it doesn't matter what I do because my mom's not going to be happy with me or my dad, or, you know. And so we got to really teach our kids what it is that we need to do, even if we're like, come on, kid, well, duh, you should know how to do that by now. But they don't. They really don't.
Yeah. If you haven't taught them, assume that they don't know how to do it. That's just the fact of the matter. And when they, you know, it's funny that you said that when you're at work and you feel like you haven't, you've done a task and your boss doesn't appreciate it. You know, with kids, they're a little sneaky though, too. They know when they're cutting corners. I know when they're like, professionally, if I've cut a corner and I was caught on it, okay, I cut a corner. So fair enough. Kids know when they're shoving things under their bed, that they're not doing it the way that they, you know, the parents would expect. But one of the ways to remedy that, honestly, is to set up their bedroom or their playroom or wherever space that they play in or use. And we've organized it the way we think it makes sense for them, but it may not. And just to think about things from their perspective, do they know, are they able to reach the hangers and comfortably put back their things? Do they know where their, you know, underwear or t-shirts go in a drawer? Have that, spend the time to work with them, to organize their bedroom in such a way that, and teach them, show them where things are and where things should go back. That is just like in an office building, you know, if you go to the office storage closet and everything's in disarray and you're looking for the post-its or the staples, you know, and you can't find them, it's a bit frustrating. When things are organized and neat, it makes everything work harmoniously. And honest to goodness, cleaning and organizing is a skill that everyone can learn if you take the time to do it. Even young children. I always say, if children are old enough to bring you something, they're old enough to go put it back. We just have to make sure that we tell them and expect them to.
So this being your wheelhouse, do you use and recommend the pictures of the chores or a chore list, or, and how do you feel about allowances for older kids?
So yes, if listen, there's multiple ways of doing everything. So you know your family, you know your children, you may have to pivot and, you know, try something and see if it works for a while, and structure it in such a way that best meets the needs of your kids. So if a chore chart works, put up a chore chart. If a, you know, just a simple list of things, if your kids are old enough to read, just give them the expectations. I think communication and expectations are really key in this whole thing. You know, if the family members know that it is part of their family citizenship, which is what I call it, to do chores, however way you can communicate what your expectations are, go for it. The allowance thing, though, that's a bit of a controversial kind of thing. I personally, with my four sons, never really did the money thing for doing chores. And there's multiple reasons for that. Number one, I never had the exact amount of cash on hand when it was time to pay. And that was always stressful for me. And it just never worked out. But secondly, I think when you pay the kids to do something, it's more about the financial knowledge and awareness. For me, it would be a tool to teach them money awareness, right? That's why I would do that. But more than anything else, for my family, if I was asking for them to do a chore, it was part of, you live here, we're all working together to make this home comfortable and for everyone. So this is what we're asking you to do. And so I personally never went that route.
I agree with you. One of the questions I get all the time is allowance and, you know, associated with chores. It's always associated with chores.
Sure.
Just because you don't usually give an allowance for doing nothing. And so it's usually a chore. And I have the recommendation to tell parents, you need both. You need certain chores that are part of your family duty. It's part of living in underneath this roof. And this is how we contribute to the house. And then it's okay to also have extra chores where they can do more things to earn money. And I think that's really important for financial literacy and to start that as early as possible, actually. But most parents don't usually start until kids are a little bit more responsible, let's say 7, 8, but every kid is so different. So you got to do what's best for your family. One other thing I thought was really great that you were talking about and you were adding about how to be successful with chores is routine and consistency. To be consistent with your chores and expectations is going to be massively impactful for how successful your child is going to be and feel. And what routine and consistency does for kids is that it gives them security. It makes them know exactly what is expected of them so they don't have to guess. And it also gives them that feeling of, okay, I know what it is. I know that my, you know, when my parent is going to get angry with me and when they're not. And so that actual consistency of, I know when my parent's going to be angry and I know when they're not, that takes a ton of anxiety out of a child's life. You'd be surprised.
Sure. Younger, the earlier start, the better, right? With all of this. And one thing is that the younger children love to do things that please their parents. They want to be challenged. They want to do big kid things, right? And so allowing them to actually monitor, watch over them, but allow them to get out of your comfort zone as the parent, get out of your comfort zone and allow them to do things that maybe others would say, huh, that might be a little bit too much for them. But it's okay to challenge your child. They want to impress you. They want to do all of that stuff. Again, when they're teenagers, it's a completely different story, but we're talking about the younger ones right now, that they can meet the expectations. And here's the thing, you know, the secret is that what they do at home translates and will carry through what they do outside of the home too. And where they spend the most time is school. And you're a former or a teacher. I'm a former teacher. I know that kids will adapt to whatever the teacher has created, whatever environment the teachers created in their classroom. How often, maybe you've heard, I used to hear, I don't know how you get my kid to do XYZ thing. They don't do it at home. Well, it's because routine, like you said, they know what the expectations are. And we have laid down the groundwork at school to say, this is how we're running our class together, you know? So it's sort of the same principles that we can do at home. Parents have to just be aware of them and be okay to try different things, I think.
And I want to ask you one more thing, and that is how this translates to the school environment. And we both know that it does, being former teachers. So this is super important for academic success, actually. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, listen, I have not been in a formal classroom in many, many years. However, I remember that, you know, teachers always had to write on the report cards, you know, how are they doing, behavior type of things, how are they doing? And I hear about what teachers are going through today and how much of a struggle it is after COVID. Kids are not paying attention or, you know, can't be focused or having difficulty working in small groups. All of these skills are easily able to be taught at home by doing things at home, having expectations at home. It really you know, the confidence they build when they know that they are taking care of spaces or their things at home and doing their chores and whatever the parents expect translates when they're outside. They're building confidence, they're building independence, they're building reliability and responsibility. All of these things absolutely affect them when they're outside of the home, whether it's school or anywhere else. And, you know, again, when we challenge them at home, they're able to accept challenges at school. They don't give up so easily. When parents don't run in and load the dishwasher the way they want to at school, they won't expect the teacher to come in and just help them solve the problem when they're a little stuck. So, I mean, there's just, oh, that topic alone can cover so much. And it's so interesting to me as well, how such an ignored thing of doing chores translates into so many other skills and habits as kids grow older. So
now this episode has had a lot of gold gems. I want to conclude with just a review of some of the main things that parents can take away with after our talk today. And so you were talking about your three tips to get the kids started. Reiterate those quickly for us one more time.
Number one, decide that this is important enough that you want to focus on. Number two, figure out which spaces you want to start with or what skills you want to start. And number three, show them and model the behavior. Show them how you want it done and model it. And of course, over all of this is patience, 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 and a little bit of stubbornness to say, no, we're going to get this done. So those would be the three and a half, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. And so be consistent, parents. Give yourself some grace. Make sure you're setting your child up for success by allowing them to have enough time. And just on a side note, for those of you who have older children, especially teenagers, when you ask your child to do something, give them ample time. And I mean ample. You do not want to ask a teenager to do things on your own timetable. They freaking hate that. They don't want to do things on your timetable. They are trying to assert independence. But it doesn't mean that they don't want to, like, not listen to you. You just need to give them a lot of time to get it done. For example, with my own teenagers, I'll say something like, I need you to clean your room. It has to be done by 8 p.m. tonight. If you clean your room by 8 p.m., and I usually add a reward to it and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. Maybe we're going to go out for ice cream. Maybe we'll have time to play a game. A lot of my rewards are actually things done with me. Like, we get to spend special time together if you can get your reward done. And I know that sounds crazy, but the kids really actually crave that. They may not get super excited, but they're going to crave it. Yeah. And then additionally, I would put in a consequence. If you don't get this done by 8 p.m. tonight, I'm going to have to take away all of your electronics. I don't want to do that, but it's going to have to take it away until it gets done. Or maybe whatever other consequence that's important to your kid. So give them lots of time. I mean, literally, did you see how I gave my teenager, the entire day? So often parents make the mistake of saying, your room is a mess. Clean it right now, or clean it in the hour.
Yeah.
Or clean it before we leave. they need some flexibility, or you're just going to get way more pushback. So that's another tidbit, another important, impactful parent tip for you. And I really hope this episode was really impactful for everybody, that you guys can take some things away. One last thing, Fernandes, tell me, like, if you can tell parents one thing, like my tip there, so like one more thing that they can just golden nugget take away with them. Do you have anything that you can share?
Yeah, Christina, I think the one thing that I would love parents to take away from this is that we're all parenting for this first time, right? We've never been whatever age parent or ever age kid you have now. We've never been parents of that before. And every child is different. Do the best you can. Give yourself grace. Look at the long-term picture of who you want to create as a child, like what kind of child you want to create, and focus on that. And know that there's no one answer. Try different things, but don't give up. Don't completely give up. And lean on other people. We've all been through it and we've all figured it out at the end.
Thank you for joining us today. Remember that this episode is just a small part of what the Impactful Parent offers. Also available are online courses, parent support groups, coaching services, and the Impactful Parent app. So go to theimpactfulparent.com to find out more. And become a more impactful parent by downloading the Impactful Parent app. The Impactful Parent app is free so that you can carry help and tips and resources right in your pocket so that you can get them when you need them most. Discover new parenting techniques that are just going to make your parenting more effective and your life easier. Download the app today. It's free. You have nothing to lose. So go to theimpactfulparent.com or your phone's app store and discover how you can step up your parenting game and become a more impactful parent. But until next time, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.